The world's weekly wait is over.
Nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you, good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out,
way out.
Where I wanna be, 'cause that's the place for me.
Hello and welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host and guide for the next 60 minutes as we explore the lesser heard, slightly obscure side of rock, where the album cut and B-side rule, referencing material as far back as the blues of the 30s to today's new releases, while throwing in healthy doses of commentary and vinyl history. There's lots to cover, so we better get started. Every band since 1964 that has wanted to, tried to, or actually accomplished releasing a record has the first British invasion, the one from 1964, to thank. John, Paul, George, Ringo, Mick, Keith, Ray and Dave, Keith, John, Roger, and Pete, among others, laid the groundwork, inspiring untold numbers to pick up a guitar and start a band. All across the country, noise drifted out of thousands of garages. The face of popular music changed forever. Of the thousands that tried, only a small percentage actually released a record, ensuring themselves a largely unnoticed place in rock history. This week, we explore the garage band phenomena, but in true vinyl garage fashion, not from here in the States, but from the rest of the world.
Time in my life. Until eternity.
Undertakers were one of the earliest Liverpool group who, not coincidentally, featured future Apple artist Jackie Lomax, along with Brian Jones, well, not that Brian Jones, although he also played the sax, and others who would eventually be connected with the Foremost and Jerry and the Pacemakers. I Fell in Love for the Very First Time was released in the States on the Black Watch label. The Swedish band The Harangues, with Daddy Rolling Stone from 1966, found on the Odeon label. The song was written by Otis Blackwell, who was best known for his songs recorded by Elvis, All Shook Up and Don't Be Cruel. Fellow Swedes The Beethovens single Summer Sun on the Triola label. The band featured a member who would eventually become part of the German band Kraftwerk in the 70s. Summer Sun was from 1966. The majority was better than most mid-level British bands and a bit unusual. Their one-third single for Decca from 1966 was written in-house when most bands of this level recorded covers. Didn't do any good. They were dropped from the label in 1969. The cut Diggin' for Gold found its way to another major label, this time Parlophone, by David John and The Mood in 1965. It was their third and last record. The band broke up shortly thereafter in 1966. So, where do you want to go next? Well, how about Down Under? Here's some from Australia and New Zealand, otherwise known as Aussie, Oz, or Kiwi Rock.
Do 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 turn something new. Mine's laid with you. Do 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 do.
Yeah.
You're traveling around the world from one garage to the next here on the Vinyl Garage. This set began with the Kiwi band The Principles and their single Woman from 1966, recorded on the Allied International label. Next, they were really a big deal, although in a big fish, small pond kind of way, more like a small island in this case, I guess. The New Zealand band The Formula, winners of every conceivable award in their home country, while remaining virtually unknown everywhere else. The song Nature was, as of 2001, voted the greatest pop song of all time in New Zealand. Max Merritt and the Meteors was a combo of both New Zealand and Australia. Originally from the former, they moved to Sydney in 1964, the UK in 1971, and finally the US in 1977. The cut I Want So Much to Know You was the B-side to You Deserve What You Got, and that was on the Parlophone label. Painter Man was first recorded by The Creation, a UK band best known as The Second Stop for future Stones guitarist Ronnie Wood in 1968. But the version we heard was from Kiwi's Larry's Rebels, another Parlophone release, this time from 1967. She's a Mod went to number one in both New Zealand and Australia in 1964, an obvious Beatle-influenced single. Ray Columbus and the Evaders were part of a Down Under package tour in 1965, along with Roy Orbison and the Rolling Stones, where they performed also as Roy's backing band. No other single was successful. They disbanded in late 1965, with Ray moving to California. They were inducted into the New Zealand Music Hall of Fame in 2009. There were a number of Australian bands that were big worldwide, including the Bee Gees, AC/DC, and the Little River Band, each one having multiple hits, but there was one that was a worldwide big deal because of one song, Friday on My Mind, and that's the Easy Beats, our last Down Under band.
Monday morning feels so bad, everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better.
My girl, she's so pretty. to the five-day grind once more. I want nothing else that worries me more than working for the rich man. Hey, I'll change that scene one day. Today I might be mad, tomorrow I'll be glad, 'cause I'm not proudy of my man. I'm gonna have fun in my city, be with my girl, she's so pretty, she looks fine tonight, she does that to me.
When it comes to popular music, the three decades of the 30s, 40s, and 50s were, to Germany, an artistic black hole. The first 15 years were thanks to the Nazi crackdown on what they considered to be degenerate music, and the second is attributed to the traumatic effects of the war and the occupation. Thanks to the overwhelming influence of outside forces, it was well into the late 60s before they found their musical voice. Up until that point, they pretty much copied what Armed Forces Radio was playing. In fact, one of the most popular German bands of the 60s, the Monks, was actually comprised of American servicemen stationed there. Here's a couple of representatives of German garage rock.
Thank you. sing. Come on and sing. La 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 la. Come on and sing. Come on and sing. La 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 la. Yeah, come on and sing. Come on and sing. La 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 la. Come on and sing. Come on and sing. La 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 la.
Children of Stone was the only record released by this German band from 1965, released with a picture sleeve on the German Palace label. The Chattels used a predominant T in their logo, reminiscent of the T in Beatles. The Rattles are a good example of a German band emulating what they heard imported into their country. They learned well from sharing the same venues as all the best British bands in Hamburg. Come On and Sing was their highest charting domestic release, or at least up until 1970's The Witch, and that song even charted in the top 100 in the U.S.
If you don't come, I don't care. You can go and hang your head in shame for all the things you've done to make me cry. And if you don't come back, baby, I don't care. I'd be good at you anyway. I'll never cry again, 'cause I don't care.
Thank you.
The Icelandic garage band scene was alive and well in the mid-60s, mostly because there was no place in the world by that time that the British invasion's influence hadn't been felt. One of Iceland's finest was Thor's Hammer, a bit of a legend in their own time for the small country, mostly because they're in a minority of one that exported their records to the UK. They were on the Parlophone label there. Along with I Don't Care being released as a single, it was found on their With Love LP and on the Umba Rumba Bamba EP. Dattar was another story. Their records were released primarily for in-country consumption, made clear by their choice of singing in Icelandic. Their Alveg Air, now according to Google that translates to quite use, is really a good song despite not being able to understand the lyrics. It was from their first LP from 1965.
When you're gone and not a girl gone, so many girls are living in this world. I'm pretty old, a life is long, so long, it is long. Nevertheless, I'm in love with you, but I think you can be very cool. And if you go, I should be so sad to lose a thing like that. You can be sure I won't blame you for trying to make me blue, 'cause you can do. When you're gone, another girl comes. So many girls are living in this world. Be so sad to lose a thing like that. You can be sure I won't blame you for trying to make me blue, 'cause you can do. Nevertheless, I'm in love with you, but I think you can be very cruel. And if you don't, well then I know that it's yours.
It's Thank you.
Which leads us to the Netherlands, where there were a couple of Dutch bands that hit it big internationally, Golden Earring and The Shocking Blue. But the garage rock community was led by bands like The Beatniks, Toreros, The Insect, and The Spectacles, to name a few. We heard Can't Be Sad About It by The Beatniks, and that was their second and final single for the national CNR label. The Toreros Come. Now, they were quite prolific, releasing 10 singles on RCA and Decca from 1963 to 1968. The Insect on Delta with Be Good and Go, and that was the B-side to their only single. And finally, The Spectacles with I'll Be Satisfied on Imperial from 1966. But it was, at least for the Dutch, the Outsiders who were the favorite sons, debuting with You Mistreat Me in 1965. Now, unlike most in this genre, they never recorded covers, setting their sights only on originals. They unfortunately never released a record in the States.
You'll swing around from guy to guy. You're having fun, you make me cry. You mistreat me, and you make me lose my mind. Don't you know that I love you? Why'd you treat me so kind? Think I say chill, you tease and lie. Leave me home alone, follow me in the eye. You mistreat me, and you make me lose my mind. Don't you know that I love you? Why do you treat me so kind?
Thanks for joining the show this week as we explore the international garage band scene of the late 60s. It's interesting to note, as each country took their best shot at emulating the Beatles, how similar the bands were. Part of the credit can be given to the record labels of England, Decca, EMI Parlophone, who kept recording studios all over the world. But most of the credit is the power of the British invasion and its artists. I guess it's true that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But before we go, my wife and I were traveling through central New York and stopped at a mom-and-pop pottery store. Upon entering, I heard music playing. Investigating further, it was an iPhone on the counter streaming classic rock. I felt at home. But when I saw her standing there started playing, I realized I was the only one there that knew that there was a way cool bass line to the song. You couldn't hear it thanks to the tiny speakers. I felt sad that the store staff and their generation were happily oblivious to what they were missing. Since nobody can hear these little details, how long before the recording artists no longer bother? Sad. Just saying. Keep in touch with the Vinyl Garage at facebook.com/Vinyl Garage Show or directly via email at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com. So until next week, this is Dave Nelson. Thanks for listening.